Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, baby, work the cat. Ride the cat till you hit the spot. Come on, baby, make it hot.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee.
Greetings, greetings. Here we are, waiting for Dr. Mark to get his water. I think he went to Niagara Falls to get. Oh, where are you? There he is. You missed the song.
How's that sound?
You sound very low.
Really?
Yes. Change phones.
No better?
Nope.
Here?
It's a little better.
Better now? Come on.
Sounds better to me.
Is it loud enough?
Yes. Anyone listening out there? Maybe you could give us some feedback.
Just comes out tinny, though. Do you have the live help person?
No, but we're on the air.
What?
Well,
what
yes.
What are you doing to me? I missed the beginning?
That's why I said you missed the song.
We had dialed in. Well, hello, everyone. Here I am. Talk about naked Selma. Wow, this is Dr. Mark, and wow, we are just fresh as a daisy here on the full moon. Wow, just...
Bang, zoom!
The one show. Oh, you play the beginning again, will you?
Oh, all right, hold on, let me
find it. I gotta get the song. I can't start without my song.
All right, here we go.
Come on, baby, make it hot. Ride the cock till you hit the spot. Come on, baby, make it hot.
Doing the doggy style.
Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee.
Is that better?
All right, now I'm back. Now that's like. Yeah, you gotta get the whole thing in order here. My God, you shocked me. I thought I had like a minute, but a minute to me is something to everyone else, I guess. So here we are again at the Naked Land, another Wednesday in the clouds, and this is a significant one because we are at the mercy of the harvest moon tonight, and it has the moon is angry. If you ask me. It's been an interesting week. You look around just as a flyover on what pop culture's been going through the last couple of days, and, you don't have to be Britney to be in trouble. I mean, it's just everywhere. And we had a little visitor here in New York City yesterday, very popular man. Looked like probably half the TAs I had in college. And he had a little problem with the Holocaust. It was interesting dialogue. The sharing of ideas there at Columbia. There you go. Perfect. And that was just one little ripple in the pond. It was just one of those weeks. Like I had sort of said last week that we're in an Anto week anyway, and then we change from summer to fall on the weekend, and now we're having this harvest moon, which is the most intense full moon of the year. That's enough for me to know that the coherence is going to be a little crunchy this week.
Yes,
so as we kind of get our feet wet this week, and we didn't get a chance because we're doing so many fabulous things behind the scenes here.
We really are.
Just goodness pouring out of us in every second. We're going to have a guest tonight that's going to take us a little deeper into the, let's just call it the worshiping of the moon. The honoring of the moon, and get into a little bit of the pagan rituals that surround this particular holiday. And tomorrow is a Jewish holiday. I didn't know about this until a little while ago. I can never pronounce it. Sabbat, Tibet, something like that.
That works.
Maybe somebody out there knows that. No, someone out there might know the exact name. I don't want to be sacrilegious. And it's another one celebrated around this full moon. So another significant thing. And the whole thing about this moon, the harvest moon, where it gets its name from, is because it has the most light and the farmers will go out at night and be able to see their crops and do a lot of the harvesting at night. So a little tidbit there.
Right. Hopefully not.
What's the number on this?
It's 646.
Yeah.
478.
646-478-4847. 4847. Mm-hmm. I'll never remember that. For some reason, that's one of those things that doesn't get into long-term memory with me.
Well, for some reason, it went into mine, and you were the one always announcing it, so I don't know.
I've never had to call this number, so.
Yeah,
that's
me neither.
Why.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, so we're looking around here. No callers yet. Oh, just dial us up. You know, the Blog Talk Radio has changed so much in the last month. I'm fascinated with all these new little changes that they've made. And as I watch, yes, it's true. It's 5-0 Mets.
Really?
Ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Carlos Beltran, replay.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I gotta upload some Mets stuff, actually.
Actually.
Yes. I wanted to play that. Let me see if I have that sitting here, now that we got a little game going here. If I could find it, because this morning was a miserable morning in Metland as we recover from yet another crushing defeat at the hands of the juggernaut Washington Nationals. A couple of ones I'm going to play, actually, because I'm a current events kind of guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Wait, no. Was it that one? I don't want the other one. Where's the other one? Anyway, it's been a rough pennant race, and all these games that, by the way, during this Onto week, when your belief system, like I said last week, is going to be challenged, and you have to work on what you're convinced about, what's core to you, not all the superficial stuff, because it's going to fly off you like so much artichoke, and artichoke is what the Mets have been doing for about a month now. So let's see if I can punch this up while I'm doing 20 things at once.
Only 20? Slacking.
Well, you know. Oh, here it is. I have it already on the. Oh, see, I was ahead of myself. My other than conscious mind was planning the show without me. So this was something that a fan did. I did this. Actually, I got to opt out of the other one. Let's see. Philo Invasion.
Is that a Philo beep?
That is a Philo beep.
Hey, Jebster.
Hey, Jeb. Mets 5, yep. Nationals nothing.
I saw that.
Yes.
They're taking down the juggernaut.
Well, so far. The Mets have to score about 72 runs to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah,
the bullpen
so
good.
Yeah, the bullpen is... actually, in the bullpen tonight, we have... it's interspecies night. We have a couple of German Shepherds, and I think Mamadouk's going to handle the eighth inning. Just go up there and slather on the ball. But trying to see...
You should do a little bit of the... these sports domains that you do when we're, you know, watching this.
Yeah, well, I was doing it last night and it wasn't helping. The ninth inning.
Well, do it on the phone.
Well, it was great because the Met rally last night. I mean, it was just perfect the way the Washington Nationals kept feeding us the perfect domains to go up and then we get Superanto up there, Moises Alou clears the bases, and then I'm looking at the lineup. I'm going, oh, Delgado's up next. Finals at night. Run away. And, of course, he strikes out. And then here comes the next Onto, totally incoherent, you know, like basically Ontosaurus up there. Loduca swings at the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a guy that stayed up all night writing a song about the Mets. This is hilarious. Let's see if I can get the
Loduca
play.
Did?
No, this is a guy on the fan this morning. Let's see if
oh,
I can
there's
play.
A guy. Oh.
Yeah. Get this thing off. Come on.
How's Glavin's neck doing?
I don't know. He seems a little tense this morning. Oh, I know what I gotta do. Roll it back. Roll it back.
766-66.
Hang on a minute. That's it.
Hey, let's hear a guy sing. You want to hear a little singing?
Sure.
It will brighten up your day?
Sure.
Brian's in Manhattan, ready to sing a little ditty for us. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good morning, Brian.
First off, listen, I'm listening to you guys, and I tell you what, you've become like therapy for me in the morning. I'm like a basket case, man. I go to sleep at 12. I'm pissed off. Excuse my language. I get up in the morning. I'm like checking the box scores and everything. And, you know, I just got to say one thing. I agree with Carton totally. I'm like an emotional wreck the last 3 weeks. But I also understand what Boomer's saying, too, man. If you're a quarterback in the Super Bowl, you got to be able to hold your feelings a little better than us average fans, you know?
Well, that's the whole deal here.
Well, that's
the
difference.
We're not ball players. We're fans. We pay $50. We're allowed to bitch.
Carton, let me sing a song for you and every other Met fan out there. Tell me if you agree with this or not. Now, I'm not a great singer, but dig the words.
Go ahead. Yep.
Okay. Bleed with the Mets. Bleed with the Mets. Come right out and bleed with the Mets. Hide the kitty, divorce your wife. If I meet Aaron Heilman, I'll be doing 20 to life because the Mets are really busting our balls, bouncing our motions off of the walls. Small lead, large lead. The bullpen sure to let us down because the M-E-T-S New York Mets are breaking me down.
Wow.
I thought that was great, Brian. Good job, kiddo. Now the real story. You know what that shows you? He didn't lie about a thing he said. He was up past midnight last night writing a song for Boomer and Carton.
Like we were.
Yeah. Aaron Heilman, 25 to life.
All right.
Sheesh.
Now to top that, which I'm aiming to top all of these things, Mike and the Mad Dog today, in an insane moment, to try to get the Mets fans out of their doldrums, did this, which is hilarious to me. But I think that they talk about pennant fever. I think I got it. I think I got pennant rheumatic fever after the last couple of days. But let's see if I can get this to work. A miracle. Not that.
Speaking of Antos, Jeter just hit one out.
You know what? a plane could fall out of the sky and kill that guy, and it wouldn't be good enough for me. I just, wow. Last night, he pretty much choked during the first and third two out in the game. He struck out, and the camera zoomed in on him. He had that same smug look he has on his face no matter what.
I know.
He still goes, you know what? I take off this uniform, I'm still Derek Jeter. There's something about Antos when they fail. It's a fascinating thing. There's no acceptance of failure. They just dismiss the event. They don't go crazy. Ecos go into this, like, you know, wounded duck thing, and they go on the ground, they swoop driveway, you know. And, another phone call coming in during the show. It's great.
Yeah. Well, you didn't hit your star 70,
you call
huh?
Call the show, Tom. Call the show, I told him. He's calling me.
Well, he was close.
He wanted to get through about the whole... The Passover, of course, was also run by the full moon as well.
Right. Always.
Yeah.
Hey, Jebster, before you do your thing later on, I have a little intro music for you that I put together.
Oh, I don't even know. I don't have a thing tonight.
Well, you'll pull one out of somewhere.
This is two non-Met fans, okay? Just so you know before it plays. That's a Yankee fan and a Giant fan rooting against the Mets, baiting the Mets fans, and I absolutely had snot bubbles coming when I was watching these three idiots, get through the song, because they always play it to mock the Mets fans. But actually, they are hitting home runs over the wall tonight, actually, to tell you the truth. But I just saw another score in the Philly game. Sorry, pennant fever kicking in. I'll double check. It is. Wow, Red Sox are taking the night off, huh? 11-5, they're winning.
Yeah.
Where's my Phillies? Where are the Phillies? I did not see them. It's raining in Pittsburgh, in case you want to know. Did you hit a home run, you said?
It was like 10 minutes ago. Calvin came down apoplectic. He hit the first pitch he saw.
All right, well, for some reason I can't seem to find the disgusting Phillies. And the equally repulsive Braves on the little scoreboard here. Oh, it's 4-2 Phillies in the fourth inning. So, in case you want to know that. All right, so getting back to how the moon is running behavior. This domain, out of all of them, the Anta domain, which is the one that refers back to you. All right, this is like, because basically, you got a couple of layers here. when you're born, you don't know what you are. So you go on species signals, basically. There's mom and there's dad and I feel protected. But you don't have any definition of yourself because you're just a big sensory blob. But once you get the second half of the loop, which is movement, which is the onto layer, now you have sort of almost like a Mobius strip that you're in, and you're referring back to yourself. So that's why, like I said, when they fail, it's almost as if that thing unravels, and they just don't have any way to kind of process it. It's almost like the chain falls off the bike. And any kind of disturbance in an onto's physiology is amplified because that's the only thing that they're looking at. They're not looking at the environment. They're not looking at you. They're not looking at the structure of the situation, nothing. They're just going on their own. It's almost like flying only on instruments, you know. So they got 19 senses. They're monitoring all of them, and if anything goes off, they just seem to have a vigilance about that, where the other domains just kind of go, well, if I'm hurt, I could seek help. Like, I could feel vulnerable like a Philo and get help. If I'm feeling empathic like an Eco, I can actually emote. At an Exo, they don't have an interior, so if anything happens to them, they just go replace part, and they go on to the next thing. So it's a strangeness about Ontos, and then especially this time of the year, when they're coming out of the 3 months that they kind of ruled the roost for the season, and it's a big, almost like a big descent we're going through, coming out of the summer and coming out of this full moon, and having all that happen in the same week. It's just a lot going on.
So is that why my Onto students, when they get a grade that they don't like, they completely flip out?
Yeah, they lose it. It's like a threat. Everything becomes life-threatening. Everything becomes, you know, an affront to them because they want this coherence, which is their source of coherence is their own physiology. They don't get it from anything else as readily or as naturally. And so they have a hard time when they have to do that. I mean,
yeah.
It's like, what do I do? You it's like you broke my Rigoletto. So to speak.
Yeah, they get like a woodpecker. I think I should have got a better grade. I don't understand why I got a better grade. You know, and then they'll start with, "You didn't tell us this," or "You didn't tell us." Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. See if I got.
I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
There you go.
That's about right. God.
All right, so we're going to be having our guest here in a couple of minutes.
We hope.
I think. We hope. We hope?
Well.
We're hoping for the guest.
He is Eco.
Oh, well.
He might
true.
Get
all
distracted.
Right. If he side saddles in here, that'd be nice.
If not, I can
and
fill in.
That's okay. And the thing is, like, we're moving towards in the show, like, we've been working behind the scenes, I've been telling everybody, to try to get this stuff, like, we talked a little the last couple weeks about positive physiology and about these rhythms and things like that, but I want to give you guys a little bit more of a structure to this so you understand what we're talking about. There's basically three rhythms that we look at that are giving your physiology, giving your body sort of a cue to adapt to. It's like everyone just thinks they're in the world and they just kind of walk around. But if you think about, you know, looking at a fish swimming in an aquarium, kind of doesn't know it's wet, but the boundary conditions, the walls of the aquarium are there.
Right,
with us, there's a sky and a ground and vibration, but the boundaries are not as clear. So the three rhythms are this. You have a rest activity cycle, okay, and that goes for a couple hours. And then you have your day-night cycle, which is your sleep-wake, which is about 25 hours. And then you have these things called infradian rhythms, which can go, you know, as long as a lunar cycle, a month, or they can go seasonal, or they can go like a transition cycle is 6 months long. There's ones that go all the way out to 9 years, actually, and they deal with the replacement of your tissues, like your stomach replaces every 5 days, and your bones, it takes 77 years, all your bone tissue gets replaced, things like that. So, was that our guest sidling in?
No.
No, that was Philo coming back.
Oh, you just bubbled out. All right, well, whatever.
I had to switch babies.
Oh, that's
okay.
Neat.
Okay. So long story short,
you have absolutely no idea.
He's doing this show. I always picture him like in a phone booth with like two kids on his head, and he's trying to feed a third one. And the phone's
like, exactly,
you
know, what's going on. I'll tell you exactly what's going on. I got one.
Picture.
I got Kelly on the pot. I got a finger in Drew's mouth, and then I got Nicholas in the swing over here. He's about ready to blow up at any moment. And because I just did the switch off, I had Nicholas and he was sleeping and Drew exploded, so I had to go get him. And, I mean, not exploded, but, you know, started going ballistic. Oh, there's our other guest.
Is that good? Oh, we got to wait.
Hello. Hey, hold on.
Introduction here.
Let's do the introduction, and I'll play a little song.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, all right. So, first, we got to get our Soma Submarine out here. So, when we get that, you have this gay, let me see, where is it? Oh, not that. I am not playing that. All right, I'll play it. Damn thing. All right, so we're getting in the Soma Submarine. So, let me just, if this will work. Gotta change.
I have one in the works, actually. You'll like.
Okay. Stop.
And here. Wait.
Okay. And now we're gonna, since we're going to be talking about our moon thing tonight, so we have this one. Go ahead.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let.
All right. That's good enough.
All right.
Sounds like we're back at Manhattanville.
yeah, we kind of have a little trigger happy. Well, they changed all the gizmos, and now like even like a monkey like me can use them.
That's right. Yeah. So we welcome John to the show.
All right, John. I just wanted to let's give you a proper introduction here. What would be the practice you're talking about, religious or spiritual, that you are exuding here on the air?
General paganism.
Uh-huh. Okay. What does that include? Because the audience would think pagan would be like, they picture like a guy with a bone in his nose and, you know, he's cooking some missionary in a pot.
That's tasty.
Well, yes, that's very enjoyable every Friday night. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a mixture of a lot of Native American spirituality and did a lot of reading about more European traditions.
Okay, so make some distinctions for us, because if I'm saying, okay, this is a pagan religion because why? What qualifies? Pagan seems like, if I said that there's a million different practices of Christianity, and then there's a Roman Catholic flavor, and then there's a Lutheran flavor, and is pagan a general term? Like it's like Dr. Pepper. You know, you're a pepper if you're doing
it. It's definitely a general term. What it means is a religion that is not Jewish, Christian, or Muslim, and that's pretty much it.
The end call of religions. It's the seven up of spirituality.
Best part.
Yes,
that's right.
Okay, so then inside of that, what would be a Wiccan?
That's a specific set of beliefs based around a belief in a goddess and god figure that's set around, it's a belief system that was kind of came into being based on a lot of older things about 50-some-odd years ago, based on the teachings from Gerald Gardner.
Okay.
And that's a kind of almost a shamanic belief system that believes in the idea of the higher power being the goddess and consort god, with the god being the sun and the goddess being the moon and so on and so forth.
Okay. So pagan beliefs are in line with that, or are they different than that?
I think most people that describe themselves as pagan would have beliefs that are in line with some of that.
Okay.
There's always that balance of male and female energies. Like the Hindus have a lot of male and female gods and goddesses and stuff, and Native Americans.
Are they pagan?
Yep. And
the
Native
Hindus
Americans.
Are?
Mm-hmm.
What about like Taoists and stuff? Are Taoists pagans?
No. I don't think
no.
so.
Yin and Yang doesn't get you in the door?
Well, it's a balance thing, but I don't think it is.
No, no
well,
doubt. The
balance is universal, though.
That's gone.
Taoism is
universal.
More of a.
It's like a philosophy.
Philosophical.
Yeah, see? John and I are right there. Eco's right on the same wavelength.
Well, repeat that. That went right over my head.
What, that Taoism is a bit more considered a philosophy than a religion?
Yeah. What was your distinction there? Because that made me stop the train.
Well, a lot of people can follow Taoism and follow a different creed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So Taoism is much more of a secular type of a thing, where it's like you don't have to be spiritual about it. You could just be that in the way that you act towards people, and that's it. It's almost like being conservative or liberal.
Like that kind of a philosophy to it?
I look at it more as philosophies that describe the way of the world, much like existentialism, absurdism, things like that, where they are describing, you know, the nature of the world, but not from a religious standpoint, not from an absolutist standpoint.
Okay, okay. So getting back to
I just want to ask a question.
Okay.
You can be a fundamental Christian because it's all because your belief is based on the fundamental principles of the Bible through the filter that your religion looks at it. So you're going back to the. Can you use the word fundamentalism or fundamentalist or pagan, or is pagan such a much larger term that it, because it's including, I guess you could be a fundamentalist Hindu, but you couldn't be necessarily a fundamentalist pagan because it's such a broad term. Is that correct?
You'd have to be referring to a specific creed, I think.
Paganism is a set, and the different creeds are the subsets under that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you give us, like, three core pagan beliefs, like, that most pagans would say okay with, or is it...
Well, there's some... What I've seen through most of them is there's the idea of the male and the female and
mm-hmm.
the balance with that,
mm-hmm.
the idea of life cycle being birth, life, death, rebirth, and then a very, very strong respect for nature.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the law of three. Like, whatever you do comes back to you times three. So if you send out good thoughts and blessings, you get them back. And if you're a rotten bastard, you're getting that back three times worse, too.
Exactly. And that, I mean, that can be described as karma.
Mm-hmm.
Because in some belief systems, the idea of things coming back threefold aren't going to, isn't believed in, but the idea that karma, what you reap, you sow.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, these religions, I mean, they are, to me, their first philosophies and then their practices. And so, you know, when it comes to, and I affectionately call some of the things I do around the seasonal stuff connecting rituals, because they're practices that I only recommend my clients to do, you know, around these seasonal changes. And you guys
mm-hmm.
have a lot of things tied to those things too, right, as far as the solstices and the equinoxes and all that?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. So did you have, like, two rituals this week? You had one on the weekend and then one coming up today, or?
Well, today's the full moon.
Right.
So,
Is it one every month for the full moon, or just for harvest moon?
Well, it depends. Everybody's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's different. It depends on your specific belief. I don't really feel the need to host a ritual every month on the full moon, but some people do, just
mm-hmm.
to reconnect with that type of energy.
And what does that energy mean to you guys? What does the full moon signify?
The full moon is the height of the moon power. So you have the waxing moon, the full moon, and the waning moon. If you look at it in terms of the life cycle, you have the waxing moon, which is the youth, the child, growing, young adulthood.
Okay.
And then you get the full moon, which is full adulthood. The moon is generally described in terms of women. So you have that as a time of motherhood. It's full, it's fertile, it's at its height of power. And then as it begins to wane, towards the dark moon, you're entering into old age. And the idea of, like, that's where the idea of maiden, mother, and crone comes from, which is a lot of the basis for European pagan ideas.
Mm-hmm. I could get all misogynist on your moon thing and just, you know, the full moon's kind of bitchy, is what you're telling me. Right.
Well, most people are a little crazy, but
the thing is, we understand with it, in terms of the physiology around it, is that the intensity of your physiology amps up as you get closer to the full moon, because the whole cycle is about
trying to drag up your circadian rhythms to, with this lunar cycle to sync them up so that your body can actually flush out a lot of the incoherence underneath it. So it's got a purpose. And again, you know, of course, the physical effect is the tides and everything else. But when you get to this kind of a moon at this point in the year, where you're dealing with one that's just after the fall equinox, and it being so intense, the harvest moon, you're dealing with things that also bring back a lot of memory. So is there anything with, because I know with the time changes, I know a lot of the Jungian types do a lot of these things called Jungian inductions. When the clock changes time, you get that hour that you just get to kind of recall a lot of things. Do you guys do anything ceremonially that is symbolic of, like, because I know around New Year's there's rituals that honor, you know, things that happened the whole previous year and then you go forward. So is there anything around the new moon or the full moon that you guys are doing that has to do with marking time?
Around around the full moon, some traditions will have a full moon ceremony. Some people refer to it as an esbat, where they reconnect with that type of energy. And depending upon what tradition you're practicing, some people will have different rituals for each moon. Like, for example, we're at the harvest moon right now. We just had the autumnal equinox. So we're entering into a time period that is about, you know, we've had our final harvest. Things are going to start to wither and grow cold. And it's about, you know, starting to look within and begin to focus on that.
Mm-hmm. So, this is another thing, like when you're dealing with inner work versus outer work, this is sort of, to me, it's sort of the beginning of cueing people into, okay, now it's time to start doing some more inner work because things are going to start to slough off and die on the outside. You got to go back to the core. So this is almost
exactly,
like the peak of working on the outer world, and then we start coming down the roller coaster now. And we come down pretty steadily because the difference in terms of the climatery change, all the things, everything just starts to just go right down the rabbit hole between now and the next time we go through the cycle in the next month, and then we get into the clock change now in November, which is weird. But
mm-hmm.
If anyone has any questions for John, it's 646-478-4847. And you know, because the thing is that everyone hears these sort of little stories about the moon. But we want to hear your stories about the moon, things that happen to you that are related to these things that maybe sometimes you don't even look at it, as far as holidays, as far as, you know, because we seem to not really notice that, but a lot of the holidays that are in the Judeo-Christian tradition were also originally kind of amped around these moons. That's why they put Christmas, the legend has it, that the carpenter was born in April, not in December. And they moved it to right after the winter solstice.
Right, by Yule. Yep.
Yeah, and all that deal. So, mm-hmm. It's not like the Judeo-Christian traditions weren't aware of this stuff. It's just not, you know, not in the front burner.
They just borrowed it.
They came later. I mean,
well, that was
later religions.
That was their way of getting the pagans to switch on over to Christianity. They had to take their holidays and give them something similar and. And that's the way it is.
Fit within an already existing tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So another example of how religion and politics were dancing back then.
Yeah.
You
well,
know, the same
yeah.
Nick thing.
That's
yeah.
right. You can ask
yeah.
any Jehovah's Witness, because mm-hmm. they won't celebrate any holiday because they're all pagan.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, would pagan qualify as infidel to the Muslim people?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Because you're kind of nature boys and all that. You're not doing things that are considered to be, you know, you respect the earth and all that.
Well, you're also venerating a woman, which is not really going to fly.
Oh, the woman thing, yes. They haven't really got them.
And then there's, you know, the whole idea that, you know, there's not this one god that you have to bow to. So I think a lot of focus in pagan belief is you're not really worshiping so
mm-hmm.
much as acknowledging.
Yeah, it's more pantheistic, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would put you right on the infidel list just for that.
Yes.
Sure. And you don't need somebody else to, you know, talk to the universe for you. You can do it yourself.
It's extremely eco-friendly, I got to admit.
Sure is.
as religions go. No church, no meetings. Rituals are optional.
That's right.
Moons, suns.
Do so what feels
like
right.
It's like Lucky Charms. Green clovers. Yellow moons. Oh, boy. All right, so, again, if someone wanted to, like, take step one towards paganism, if they were practicing some other religion, they wanted to just learn about the philosophy, do you have any, like, books or websites or anything?
Witchvox.com. WITCHVOX.com is probably one of the better better websites that have to do with paganism. What do you think?
There's also The Spiral Dance by Starhawk, which is it's one of the books that really began the movement in the United States, and it really really explains things. But I mean, you know, how big is the movement?
Yeah, pretty
big,
movement.
I guess.
It's not as big as yours, Mark.
Wait a minute. What movement are we talking about here?
I'm not getting into
exactly.
it. There's also another website, bewitchingways.com, which was put together by a friend of mine that has tons and tons of information on it.
Okay. Hey, is Jeff still there?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Oh. What was that book you read about, was it Following the Moon, or what's it called?
It's called Guided by the Moon.
Yeah, Guided by the Moon. They got any pagan stuff in the back of that thing?
It was a crossover, but there wasn't any.
It was more philosophy? What was the gist of that book?
That book was all about the sort of looking at the different moon cycles and how they related to physical things, the physical world. And so they used a lot of nomenclature that was the zodiac, but then they talked about, you know, if you certain types of wood spiral, you know, a tree spiraling to the right that was cut at the full moon or cut at a certain lunar phase, you know, you would never have to treat it. You could make bridges out of it. It could stay outdoors and it would never go rotten. So it was like, it was almost like a farmer's almanac to the lunar cycles. And it was kind of like just living the natural life by the moon. But I wouldn't say that it was. They made pagan references, but not as a philosophical thing or not as a spiritual thing. It was like a practical guide. It was like, this is how you would live. This is how, if you were sick, you could, you know, you do these things. You would eat this way. You would harvest this way. So it was really more based on practicalities, I think, than rituals or religions or anything like that.
Okay. Well, that book just kind of popped in my mind when you mentioned the other one, because there's so much to learn about the influence the moon has over us, whether we're talking religion, philosophy, or just pure physiology, that, you know, there's probably plenty of other books that could come up that would fit into this rubric, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly Guided by the Moon would give, would definitely give you that other aspect of it and sort of round it out from the practical side.
Who wrote that one?
I don't have it right in front of me. I'll put it on the website.
It's called Guided by the Moon? Okay.
Guided by the Moon, yeah.
Okay.
It was originally written in German. It's been translated.
Well, we got a moon on this side of the ocean, so okay, cool.
Here it is.
All
right. I got it.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Who wrote it?
Hold on, let me open this. Guided by the Moon by Donna Baker Church.
Baker?
Baker.
Yes. Oh, Baker, okay.
Yes.
All right, fine. All right, John, so any closing thoughts about what we can do to take advantage of this moon tonight, if we're just going to be pagans for a day, or?
I'll just acknowledge it and begin focusing on what's going on in the internal world.
Okay, so it's like if we're going to lay our little heads down to sleep tonight, we want to have a little moon dream here. The focus is on, you know, like you said, letting go of the outer world and doing more core work and being able to kind of shut down sort of the social world and get back into your spiritual rhythm, because we're going to the cave, as it were. We start the dark cycle soon. So that's kind of the message of this moon? Okay. So harvest moon, it isn't like the Western world definition of separate the wheat from the chaff and do your harvesting. This is much more about sort of put away
the toys. That's the metaphor of what harvesting is. It's, you know, this is the end of summer. It is the end of the fertility of the earth for the year. It's time to now start focusing on going within and doing that sort of work.
Okay. All right. Because like I said, to me, they all boil down to you can put them on an index card, and the bumper sticker for this is go within, and that's really what the big bright moon is trying to tell us tonight, because it is shoving us back inside, because it's pretty powerful.
That's right. By the way,
thanks for joining us, John. Yeah.
The Guided by the Moon, the woman that I just mentioned did something with it, but the actual authors are, I don't even know how to say the name, P-A-U-N-G-G-E-R and P-O-P-P-E, and then this other woman did something else with it, so just want to correct
that.
That's
what I thought, because I remembered it being two names that were difficult to...
Yeah, yeah.
I just got over the Baker thing, so okay, cool.
Yeah.
But Guided by the Moon, sounds like that out of everything we went through tonight, we got a couple of things connected. I wanted to make sure that the right brain and left brain parts of this is a very powerful moon got represented, so, John, thanks for joining us. You really helped us out with that.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care.
Thanks, John.
Bye-bye.
I'm sorry?
What? You hung up.
All right.
Are we alone?
Hang up.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is. Okay. Oh, boy.
Hey, all right,
well, I don't...
Look at this. There was a brawl at Chuck E. Cheese.
What?
Something just popped up on my computer that there was a brawl at Chuck E. Cheese. Come on, people. It has to be the full moon.
Well, like I said, watch the police blotter tomorrow, because it's going to be funky.
Oh, my God.
it's not going to be not going to be pretty. I mean, we've had a lot of things. With that dude that sued God, he was in court. The other guy, the senator out in Idaho, was in court today. We had, like I said, our little bearded friend was down there in Columbia. It's like a steel cage match going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeez.
All right, so I guess we're going to be paddling towards. You guys are not calling up tonight because everyone's watching the game. So I want to kind of lay a little groundwork here because we're going to be going through October starting next week, and. Mm-hmm. We've got a bunch of things coming up the 12th? October 12th?
Yes.
Top of my head?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going to be filming an expomercial, as it's called, about the emotional makeover up at the Bonta Rosa up there in, I guess it's technically Brewster, but it's really...
It's like really Patterson, yeah.
Yeah. As the Comcast people would tell you in 5 seconds.
Ugh.
that was perfect. That was a legitimate ugh.
It sure was.
So anyway, October is going to have a couple of layers to it. So we have that coming up on the 12th, and we'll be talking about that. We're also putting together the digital version of the Somatic Companion 30-Day Emotional Makeover. That should be out, I'm just going to call it, sometime in October. We're getting that together. We've got the transcripts back, so that's getting going.
Yep.
And a lot of changes as far as, with this site, we're doing on the Blog Talk, we're going to have a lot of guests on that are going to be bringing their expertise to the table, just like John did tonight, with the hand on the elephant, kind of talking about their truth, and being able to give you guys different perspectives on some of the core principles that we're trying to get across to you about how we communicate and how we live well and all that stuff, incorporating all the things about this concept of positive physiology, which let's let Jeb give a working definition of that tonight, because my brain hurts.
A working definition of positive physiology. Oh, I just wrote a couple of good ones today. Let's see if I can pull them out of my hat while we're sitting here holding babies.
Whip it out, Jet.
Yeah, have a hat.
Positive physiology would be this, we'll call it a nascent science of the study of disciplines, both clinical and research, that look at and are related to techniques or hello?
Anything that
supports physiology in a positive manner, as opposed to pathophysiology, which is sort of what the traditional or medical world or sort of Western medical world is very focused on: pathology, sickness, illness. Positive physiology is looking at, if those are all illnesses and those are all the diseases and that's how people get sick, how do we get people healthy, or how do we keep people healthy and get people healthy and help them stay healthy? And what we sort of identified is that it's not just as easy as don't eat this, don't eat that, don't do this, don't do that, because there are actually things that will develop a sense of coherence and a state of coherence, and then help you maintain it. So, and I'll tell you, Mark, one of the things that sort of finally, it's like after 2 years of doing this with you, the whole idea of doing things in the moment for you know, things in the moment that will support you over time has finally really nailed, you know, come into to my brain full force lately, because everything I'm talking about now, I go, oh, yeah, if you do this in the moment, you may have a great moment and really bad moment, but if you do these things consistently in the moment, you will get better results over time. And it's like just about everything falls under that, because there's the wave, right? So there's the mm-hmm. there's the upside of the wave, the downside of the wave, just like John was talking about, the waxing moon and the full moon, the waning moon, and then the trough or the dark moon. So the whole idea of positive physiology is getting people up to out of the trough when they've been stuck in a trough or specific pattern, but then allowing them to be able to sort of fluidly surf these ups and down waves that they're going to encounter that are stress patterns, or you know, whether it's social stress or biochemical stress or whatever the type of stress it is that they're encountering. So short story made very long. I'll try to shorten it up now. Positive physiology is looking at tools or things that we can do in the research side and in the clinical practice side and in the just the self-help side that will support a sense of positive physiology through the eyes or the filter of this word that we call coherence. And coherence is a state of clarity, a time when you feel really good, like when you're holding your lover's hand, or when you're holding a baby, or when you're laughing really hard, or maybe you're really crying really hard. All these moments are times of real clarity when you're really, really right in that moment. And when you're in that moment, what they've been able to document is that your heart rate variability, the lub and the dub, they're not, it's not like a metronome. It's not going bump, bump, like one beat per second. It's actually dancing all over the place. And that dancing is a really great thing, because that dancing gives you more adaptability. So just like a tennis player who's dancing around getting ready, or a baseball player who's waggling the bat, they're not doing that. It's not nervous energy. It's being prepared to move at any moment when they have to strike very quickly. So when your heart rate is kind of dancing around within limits, I mean, it can't be dancing all over the place or you go into these arrhythmias, but if it's dancing around just a little bit, they've documented that increase or that higher heart rate variability actually is an indicator of higher coherence. And that, so the more things that we can do in this nascent science of positive physiology to induce and or create and or maintain a state of high heart rate variability, and which is coherence, then we're going to have a healthier population who can make better decisions and then continue to get healthier as time goes on and enjoy really quality of life. And really what it is, guys, this is wellness. There's been this word wellness that's been batted around, and I don't even remember. I think
I hate that word. I've moved out. When I hear the word wellness, I get sick. Someone's going to try and sell me a supplement 2 seconds later.
Exactly. And the thing is, it's this vanilla word that's never really meant anything to anybody. And who was it? Was it like Ralph Nader or somebody, you know, got us this word? I forget who it was. It was somebody like that, some consumer advocate or somebody who came up with this idea of wellness. And it was really kind of this, it took off. And now you're right, it's become a marketing tool for people. And it doesn't really have any teeth behind it. And what's annoying is that people can use it and make it whatever they want it to be. And so what we've said is, listen, when we look at what we think people want to know about wellness, is they want to have a definition for it, or at least a way to identify whether something's truly going to make you well or not. And if you can look at somebody in there and put them on a freeze frame or put them on an M-wave and see their heart rate variability go up, then you know that thing or that modality or that practice has made them more coherent, thus in a more positive physiological state. And that's really what we're at the end of the day, what we're really passionate about is this concept. And what Valerie does and what Mark does and what I do are all things that we found that produce this state of positive physiology. And as sciencey as it sounds, it's really what drives us, because we're all about quality of life. So the universal somatics and the four domains and all this great work and the emotional makeover, if you do the emotional makeover, what's the payoff? The payoff is you get better quality of life. You're happier. You can love more, you can laugh more, you can cry more, and you can do it more fluidly and more naturally. And it's not forced, and you're not trying to put yourself in somebody else's model and do an onto model if you're a philo, or do a philo model if you're a if you're an exo. Like that, those are recipes for disaster. So we're really, mm-hmm. I don't know. I get pretty excited about it,
The point is, this ends our infomercial. The point is that we have a capacity to live in rhythm with our environment, but you can't get there from the head down. This is a hard out kind of a thing. It's a rhythm thing. And moving within these rhythms, I mean, we have habits on every level, especially with emotions. Some people have a habit of getting mad. That's the onto. People have a habit of being vulnerable. That's a philo. You know, and it's like once you understand on the living side, on the living body, which is what a soma is, it has a relationship with its environment, and there's a bias there. It's never just a clean-cut little plug-and-play thing. And the bias comes from, like you talked about coherence, it comes from hooking into what's the clearest channel you have to the world, and you developed that early on when you didn't have much of a brain, and you had these interactions with the world, and the ones that you developed sort of an affinity for were the ones that were the clearest. And it's sort of like, you know, you put all those in the core of your body, and you said, okay, these are the ones I'm going to use first, because survival, self-preservation is always the first need to be met, and then you start to learn on top of that. So, recognizing that about yourself, if you haven't done it yet, go to somaspace.org and look at the two self-profilers there. The self-profiler one is more the right brain one. It deals with more your kind of your overall affect and your life narrative and things like that, more of a global story. And then when you get into self-profiler two, it's like left brain coherence of, yeah, how do you sequence this thing to make sense of your life and put things into order in your head and look at the different statements in each one of these narratives so that you're living your life in harmony with that story you develop, and then you're able to get outside the story and back it up with the other narratives that from the other domain. So yeah, we're talking a little jargon here at the end, but you know, for the most part, you know when you're not in rhythm with the world, and you know when you are, and being able to guide yourself back and forth is really the point. And the stuff we're talking about here, to recognize those patterns and be able to implement them and make, you know, pretty dramatic lifestyle changes possible without a lot of effort. It's just more awareness of what you need to know, and then your system actually has a way to self-organize you in there. So it's not like you have to sit there and go through a whole bunch of willpower, and like we talk a lot with addiction recovery, we've been conditioned to work. We've been conditioned to be effortful and not resourceful, and we're trying to give you the other side of that wave. So.
Now, as I was saying, drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs.
Well, I'm not to trying to give it away again, folks.
There you go. We got 7 minutes.
Yeah, well, maybe by the top of the hour it'll be tie game because it's the fifth inning, and that means the witching hour for any starting pitcher for the New York Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you know what time it is here on Naked Soma?
I'll take it. What's that? It is time to get the Soma scopes out, and it's going to be a bumpy night here as we get through this freaking moon. Nobody out, second and third, 6-3 Mets. If you're keeping score at home and your liver is doing a backflip like mine. 5-0 lead, folks. A 5-0 lead. It's like a 3-out tour. So here we are. We're on the diving board, and thank God tomorrow's coming because it's Eco Week.
Yay!
Yes. And the Ecos come to almost like Nurse Nancy to clean up the wounded on the battlefield after the Onto has stomped all over us for a week. And it couldn't get here soon enough. This next week, I always like this. This is like the Indian summer. Sort of swan song that would get us all the way to next Wednesday, so we'll be actually finishing up the Eco Week next Wednesday night when we join you. And really the theme of this week is support from every angle. Emotional support, physical support, life support if you need it. So this is a week to just stand in the corner and just say, help, help, help. And help will show up. Because that's where the source of coherence is coming from this week. The empathic ego is coming to pat us all on the head and say, there. And so, you know, as we get close to the end of the baseball season, I'm going to need that ego support because I am going to pretty much be inning by inning with these frickin' Mets riding it out. And as we turn the corner and we get more into October, you know, the theme is gonna shift again, because now we're gonna be in more of a fall rhythm. So the eco overarching theme for the season is gonna start to show its nose. So a lot more empathy, a lot more communal sort of sense of awareness rather than personal. So we're shifting from the onto self-referential to the more environmentally sensitive eco. So it's like we have a week where it's concentrated, that moving into the season, which where it's going to be diffuse over all the way to the end of the fall. So the only one who will not pick up this message, because they basically have that their noses clogged, of course, would be the exos, who will look at this as much more of a reorganization. So exos are going to be reorganizing, shuffling their closet around, shuffling their Rolodex around, cleaning out the glove compartment of the car, throwing all the crap out of the trunk. So it's sort of like you start seeing a lot of the yard sales and stuff. Now you're going to see a bunch of guys driving to the town dump, throwing things away. So there's a lot of that going on. Sort of like the opposite of spring cleaning will be going on this next week for the exos. Ontos and Philos, play amongst yourselves. Because it's going to be a lot of that sort of outer conflict, not inner conflict this week, where people are just going to be trying to pull over the side of the road and read the map and get a new sense of direction. So that's kind of what the somascopes are about this week. And as we get to next week and we start looking forward to more fall fun, it'll get deeper and deeper as we go through the next couple of steps of this lunar cycle. So there's my scoping.
Beautiful.
So we'll turn it over to Dr. Jeb with his tip of the week.
Tip of the week is...
I have to play the song. We have a new
song
for you. Ready?
Okay.
Wow! I feel good! There you go. Okay.
There you go.
I love it. So this week, you're going to go out there and you're going to be thinking about it. I used to tell people when they would go to start doing nutrition stuff, I would use an old macrobiotic tome or sort of piece of wisdom, which was, you know, before you put that in your mouth, think about how it's going to make you feel as you eat it, how you're going to feel after you eat it, how it's going to digest. To give them just a sense of a pause, you know, don't just shovel it in, just think about it, is it going to give me heartburn? And so this week, as you're doing things, as you're having emotions, as you're having thoughts, as you're about to act, take that little pause 5 seconds, and think, what's the outcome here going to be? Or is it going to, am I going to feel good? And the whole idea here is to get a sense of, is this putting me in a good place or is it putting me in a bad place? If it's putting you in a good place and you're feeling good and you're laughing or you're crying, because either one is a good emote, to me, a good eco state, then you're coherent. So you're supporting the positive physiology. If you're just jumping into things and you feel like shit and the same old thing happens over and over again, then you're loco. So this week's all about sort of practicing that sense of, let me take a pause 5, let me think about this before I do it, and is it going to support me or not support me? So that's Dr. Jeff's tip of the week.
Beautiful. All right, here we go.
6-3, man.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Okay. All right, so wrapping it up, we have Professor Val with her quote of the week.
Okay. This is a George Bernard Shaw quote, and it is, I don't know if there are men on the moon, but if there are, they must be using the Earth as their lunatic asylum.
That pretty much fits this week.
Yes.
I have met more crazy people. I mean, just crazy people acting crazy. I mean, just not even faking it.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Announcing your plans.
You know, good show. We got a
it's a good way to hear.
Moon, and it is now 6-5, Mets. It's up at the top of the hour.
Oh,
it can't be
God.
Tied. Oh, no, 6-4. Sorry, they stopped the guy at third base. So. But it's still nobody out. The magic of Joe Smith is out there, and I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say.
No.
But I will say this.
If I had an ounce of self-respect, I would cut your dick off.
Oh, that was
guys.
Nice.
We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one, everybody.
Come on, baby, make it hot. Ride the cop till you hit the spot. Come on, baby, make it hot.
Doing it doggy style. Ow, wow, wow, yippee yo, yippee yo, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee. Ow, wow, wow, yippee yo, yippee yo, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee.